I'd like to advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's
And welcome to the Lindley Evans Music Studio at the ABC in Ultimo for another edition of Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and this week from his new album, Australian Idol, singer-songwriter Tim Friedman. Please welcome him. And our panel, Julia Morris, Rob Carlton and Tommy Dean. But first, as always, here is the news from nowhere. Fashion Week has just ended in Sydney, and with all the effort going into the clothes, couldn't they focus just a little bit more on the care instruction labels? Does anybody understand what they mean? With their series of triangles, crosses, and encircled washing machines? And do they have to be so alarming? With particularly skimpy outfits, the care instruction label is now bigger than the garment. The garment must be hand-washed in lukewarm distilled water and then placed on a flat surface in the shade. Whatever you do, don't squeeze it or wring it, and certainly never mention the word dryer in its presence. If you must speed up drying, you may blow on it gently, providing you haven't recently eaten anything spicy. Once it's dry, place your iron in the next room and simply walk past the doorway to that room with the garment on a hanger, gently encouraging it to de-wrinkle. That's all you can do. The little diagrams on the care label are full of drama and intrigue, especially as one can only guess at their meanings. Does the picture of the choppy water mean you can only wear the garment sailing? What is this mysterious black hand being plunged into the choppy water from above, and this thing that looks like a croissant with a giant cross through it? And why next to it on the label is there a picture of a square window filled with prison bars? Has someone stolen a croissant, jumped into the ocean to escape, and then been caught and locked up? The care instruction labels on my new pants have more plot development points than the average Michael Robotham airport thriller. Even worse are those garments that are beyond washing. They are so delicate, the manufacturer cannot begin to suggest how you might clean them. Even purchasing laundry powder while wearing them may invalidate your consumer rights. Dry clean only is the label's terse instruction. Typically, these garments are pure wool, maybe a suit or a pair of pants. And of course, there's no way wool can be exposed to water. Now, frankly, I find this a little hard to believe. Last time I looked, the sheep in the fields were not wearing raincoats. They were not marching around with a stockman holding a dainty little brolly over each animal. If the label is right and wool shrinks when wet, why doesn't it do it when it's on the sheep's back? Why haven't we got a whole nation of size 16 sheep waddling around in size 14 fleeces? Why don't they pant and wheeze while gambling in the field, rather like a fat man over-optimistic in selecting his sizes of Levi's? I'm convinced it's all a rip-off, involving the dry cleaning industry on one side and secret payments to the wool growers, many of whom are listening this afternoon. Hello, Gunnedah. Just tell them they can't be washed, the dry cleaners hiss while handing over the cash to some bloke in a Cobra. If they want them cleaned, tell them it's got to be done dry. But here's the thing. How can cleaning really be dry anyway? Try taking a dry shower and see how clean you get. If your toddler, after using the loo, claimed to have dry cleaned his hands, would you believe him? My hunch is that the high-tech machines dominating the dry cleaner's store are just a cover. The whole thing is a scam. Out the back of the shop, there's some sort of creek. They have people out there, crouched over the water, beating a new Armani suit with a rock. Hours later, they bung it on a hanger, wrap it in plastic, and no one's the wiser. Thank you, wool industry. Surely it's time we gave up the fiction and admit that everything should be just thrown into the machine and thence into the dryer. That way, the warning labels would be free for some more useful messages. Warning labels such as, "You? In our stuff? You must be joking, lady."
Or simply, ha, ha, ha. Suddenly that picture of the crossed out croissant doesn't seem so obscure. Eat more than one of these each year, the label is telling you, and you'll never fit into this garment again. And that's the news from nowhere. Now, Tommy Dean, Rob Carlton, and Lady Julia Morrissey here. Well done.
I couldn't be more delighted, to be frank.
Well. Just so you know, as a person who does a lot of laundry, I have long subscribed to the idea that it's survival of the fittest when it comes to clothes. There's no separation of colors. That's racist. Yeah. It's a UN of laundry. They all go through the same cycle, and if they can't survive the dryer, they don't deserve to be in the house.
Okay, but how come it's a piece of clothing that you most dislike that lasts the longest? You got one pair of scratchy nylon tartan socks that you hate. It'll be there in your drawer, winking up at you 20 years later.
My favorite one, though, is when you actually put nylons in the dryer, and it's like some sort of murder mystery as they choose a few items to strangle to death like pythons. Come out fused as one ball.
Now, first up, we've got to check that you've been following this week's news assiduously. Which politician got himself into trouble when he put on a poker face? Who was it?
That dreadful Chris Pine.
Christopher Pine. Okay.
Who I like to refer to as the Pine-Lime Splice, only nowhere near as delicious.
Explain the story. What did he do?
Well, he came out saying that there's no point giving people with children a... you know I'll always have half the story because I'm not very bright, but he came out saying that we're going to give... The money they're giving to families to pay for their school kids, people are just going to blow on plasmas and they're going to blow on booze, they're going to blow on gambling, which is
the,
just...
The plasma is not blood transfusion, by the way.
No, exactly. The most extraordinary part about it is that he's just proven how out of touch he is, because I am a mother of toddlers. I need the booze. I need the plasma. Yeah. I need the gambling. I need it.
I'd agree with you. I think Christopher Pine doesn't understand the complex matrix that is the modern schooling education system.
Yeah.
I think only a rudimentary understanding of Clubs New South Wales pokey policy shows us that quite clearly, without those poker machines, no child in New South Wales will ever pick up a cricket bat again.
No, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
They will never have access to any swimming pools again. Because that's the beauty of the poker machine.
You won't even be able to use the word community.
That's right. No. Without poker machines. So I think Chris Pine's sadly off the mark there.
He's completely out of touch. I can't believe how completely out of touch he is. Just for one point, I'm not even a fan of the plasma. The super black LED is where it's at. If you're going to buy a new TV, quit fooling around.
Plasma. And if you don't have one, can you imagine how hard it is to learn with the stigma? Of being the only kid at school without a widescreen plasma.
I know.
Very difficult.
Okay, but I mean, we have a go at him, but then Julia Gillard came out and attacked the North Shore, said people in the North Shore don't even understand the cost of education.
Well, yeah, with respect.
Yes.
With respect, I think if anybody understands the cost of education, it's people living on the North Shore.
That's
I think 25k a year to start. And I don't think 600 bucks touches the side.
No.
I think if Julia wants to help them out, then she's really got to up the ante.
And have you seen the cost of tennis lessons?
Yeah.
My God.
Really, it's actually an argument that makes me quite angry. We had a similar case in the States years ago when people were given food stamps. Food stamps, sort of a similar ideal. And people were writing letters to the editors complaining, saying, I saw a person with food stamps buying strawberries. How dare they? I can't even afford strawberries in the food stamp. People are eating strawberries. How dare they?
Where did you get food stamps, Tommy?
Food stamps is like a welfare program. It's the same idea.
In Arizona?
He's moving there.
I understand.
It was just like, instead of giving you money, it was to force you. So instead of giving out just cash like this, you actually had a book of stamps that were only redeemable in the supermarket.
Suddenly I sense Tony Abbott taking notes. Tommy, stop.
But it's weird. I don't know how you even make the argument, because obviously you just realign the cash. You know, they give me, I have got three kids in the age bracket of the 400, so I get $1,200. So I use that to pay for their education costs. And the $1,200 I had earmarked for education costs, I now go in with lottery tickets with Julia.
Yeah, 70 million there.
Yeah, and a couple boxes of discount wine. I'm not buying it by the bottle. I'm getting it by the case.
I don't understand.
I'm working volume to get my money's worth.
Yeah.
I'm not a fool.
He's not mad. But I don't understand why they stop at just telling us what the education we spend. Why don't we give them all of our money and then they give it all of it back and just tell us what to, so we don't ever have to make a purchasing decision again.
Ultimately, as a father, I have learned that children learn by what they see. And if they see that daddy has wasted all of his money on alcohol and gambling, then they will learn not to do those things in the future. That is money well spent.
What an education it'll be. Now, why should we beware this week of Greeks refusing gifts?
Oh, I think we should be beware of everybody that refuses gifts, not just the Greeks. This is an Olympic year, and the Olympics don't get by without a lot of gifts being given. I think we learnt that from Juan Antonio Samaranch in the IOC. Certainly the World Cup soccer people. I don't think Qatar would be hosting the World Cup without that long-lived tradition of giving gifts. So
that's right.
I think in Olympic year, people should be accepting gifts and smiling happily.
Well, the Greeks could be accepting the gift from the IMF, but there's all these austerity measures.
Now, this is the bit that confused me, right? Because it's austerity, they have to apply austerity. And from what I understand, and you know I've got the small brain syndrome. Okay, so they were a little bit naughty when they wanted to join the Euro, right? So then they said, oh, no, we've got awesome books. We're in awesome form. So then the Euro said, oh, come on board, you funny old things. And then they just tickled the books for a little while. Whoopsie, this is how it is now. And they were like, oh, no. And then they tickled them a little bit more. And then when they stopped tickling, the rest of Europe sort of went, oh, you've been naughty all along. We knew it. We just didn't say anything. And now they're all like, you're not allowed to listen to Austereo. And I don't understand.
I think Julia's right, Richard. If one Greek picked up one shovel and did one day's work, we wouldn't be in this mess.
I've got nothing to add to this.
Final question for this week's news. Which leader stared defeated defeated some enemies by staring into their yellow eyes? Who knows?
I think there was the...
Their yellow eyes.
Yeah, okay. So the death of the guy that wrote the book,
yes.
Where the wild things are.
Yes.
And And Barack Obama once again took the opportunity to show the world that he that he can read. Certainly, of historically, that's a step up with regards to U.S. presidential candidates.
So, I thought you were going to say that the way he's been campaigning recently, he was going to claim success for having killed Maurice Sendak.
He's
on my list!
Absolutely, You know, only one president had the courage to make that choice, and I made it.
All right, I think we know the week's news. Rob Carlin, Julia Morris and Tommy Dean on Thank God It's Friday.
Thank God It's Friday with Richard Glover.
Now, did you hear on the news this morning that overnight in Britain, Prince Charles did the weather for the BBC? Did you hear that?
Fantastic.
And we confront a day today when Graham Creed is not here. I just think we should put in a call. Helen's about to do the news headlines, but if someone in the control booth could put in a call to Balmoral or Windsor Castle and see, because he did it for Scotland, he did it for the BBC. Why wouldn't he do it for us? Mm. We are subjects, are we not?
Yeah.
If
you pluck us, do we not bleed?
It might be. It'll be a little more difficult for him to do our weather because we do more than drizzle.
There is someone on the line from Britain. Prince Charles, there's no chance it's you, is it? Prince Charles? Oh. I'd been so hopeful.
So close.
Was
it
that
felt
the
so
sound
close.
Of sucking toes, though, coming down the line?
Yeah, I mean, there's all the talks about, you know, him, but, you know, Camilla read it, too.
Because, you know, I've never been committed to a republic up to now.
Are we live?
Prince Charles, it's your loyal subjects in Australia here.
Mr. Glover, yes, I believe I'm on your ancillary staff as a weatherman.
Well, that's right, sir. It's just that you talked to the BBC in Scotland last night and we thought you might do the same service for us today because our regular guy is unwell.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear about that, the prognosis. But I am a weatherman. By trade, people are always asking whether I'll be king. So I feel duty bound to impart my knowledge about Australia's weather.
Now, can you tell us what the weather will be like for us this weekend?
Well, it's a mixed picture, Richard. As we move towards the weekend, tomorrow will be mostly sunny throughout, with west-southwest winds tending light and variable across the north coast. And then moving into Sunday, there'll be isolated showers on the western slopes of the southern ranges, wherever the dickens they are, with the chance of some snow showers in the mountains. It'll be partly cloudy in the south of the state, but mostly sunny elsewhere. I presume this is New South Wales.
Yes, 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 sir.
Yeah. Winds will be west to southwesterly. The temperature will hit the mid-20s. This is Camilla's age. And that's on the north coast of the state. The south coast and much of the west will be roughly 18 degrees during the day, but it will be a chilly 4 degrees at Perisher, hitting a low of minus 4 on Sunday. So thank God it's not a bank holiday. Next week, we can expect more of the same patchy weather with some cloud hanging around in most of the state. But from my point of view here in Scotland, it's like the sun looking at my mother's jubilee, 60 years on the throne. It's a bit like the weather in Scotland. It's a long and steady rain.
Ladies and gentlemen, please thank Prince Charles. And we do want to thank Prince Charles's private personal secretary, Jerry Connolly, for helping us make contact with him this afternoon. Prince Charles, ladies and gentlemen. BBC Scotland can do it. We can do it too here on Thank God It's Friday, where we have Rob Carlton, Julia Morris, Tommy Dinn, and our wonderful audience. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank God It's Friday. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the two big reality TV shows were battling it out this week for dominance. On one station, on one commercial station, there was MasterChef, and on the other commercial station, there was The Voice. Now, if The Voice really wants to crush MasterChef, I reckon they should steal the cooking audience by making it a rule that every song in The Voice has to be about food. So what songs could they sing? I'll go first. The Elvis Presley classic, Don't Be Gruel.
Don't go first.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I warn you, knowing these people, there is worse to come. What have you got for me?
In honor of what just happened right there, I suggest Two Griddle Boys.
What about Michael Jackson's Heat It?
Nice.
I've got the Beatles' classic Hey Jube.
I got a Wanna Hold Your Ham.
Yeah. Joe Cocker with a Life in the Flambé.
I've got Prince with Raspberry Coolie Beret.
The Beatles' album, Yabby Road.
Another Beatles, Twist and Trout. Yep.
Phil Collins, sous chef Udio.
Baguettes, I've had a few.
Fantastic. More Beatles, Let It Be. It's about the souffle in the oven.
A song about the restrictive produce available in our restaurants, Can't Buy Me Dove.
From Kiss, we have I Want a Bacon Roll All Night.
Salt and Pepper, What a Flan.
More Beatles, I Am the Walnut.
More Beatles, A Hard Day's Bite.
More Kiss, Plate It Up. Lick It Up was the original. Lick It Up, Plate It Up. It was Kiss!
More Beatles, I Want to Be Your Spam.
Green, Green Foie Gras of Home.
My big one, Breakfast, Lunch and Dinner Time, You Expedite Delicious.
Well, that went downhill, didn't it? Now it's Wheel of Death time on TV.
You know how long it took me to put that together? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner time, you expedite delicious. An hour. You try to work out supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yeah. That does sound like a time management issue, Tommy.
If you didn't play Wheel of... you didn't play a game
well, I'm
of...
just annoyed that sous chef Udio got a better laugh.
Was that like a second or two?
Yeah, that just like, blam, just hit me.
Yeah.
Artistic genius, I think you called it earlier.
Did I? That may be what you heard.
Of the hour he worked on that, 59 minutes was spent playing Guitar Hero, though.
Well, there is that. I could have distracted myself.
Now, on your feet, Tommy Dean, it is Wheel of Death time. Oh, now, what happens when we our live audience comes in here at 5 o'clock? They fling 14 topics onto this chocolate wheel... and they're completely random topics. Tommy hasn't really had time to study any of them. I'm going to spin the wheel, And whichever of these 14 topics comes up, Tommy Dean has got to jump up and speak to us.
It's so frightening.
It is frightening.
The thought of it, yeah. Not for you because you're a genius, but for me, it'd be like standing next to an open window.
That is why we call it the wheel.
Why is that scary? Why is the open window scary?
Don't you just feel the breeze with my brain?
Oh.
Oh, I thought you were calling me an open window and I didn't understand.
I find
open windows very, very scary to be in front of, because whenever you're in front of an open window, I have this desire to throw myself out of the window to my death.
Quick, find a window.
And then I have a equal desire not to, and I find the tension is so great that the only way to resolve the tension is to throw myself out the window. So that's why I must never do it.
Don't do it.
Lord, no, that sounds like a horrible, horrible
Here we
stuff.
Go, the wheel of death.
Yeah, I just throw a vase out, just so we're clear. Right? I think the same thing, and they go, well, I'll test with a vase. Psh, oh, that was satisfying.
I'll remember that psychological tip for next time. Here we go, the wheel of death. Round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Which of the 14 topics will come up?
Those who don't know, the war is painted in a variety of colors, and when he spins it all goes gray. And then it comes back to color again.
Okay, it is on...
The gray is representative.
That's red, yeah? Red. And the topic, as suggested by a member of this audience, who was it? Nose job. Nose job, you win. Alf Wiedersehen Pet Series 3 from the ABC shop and up to date.
Very lucky.
Yeah. And the topic is nose job, starting now.
Wow, it's difficult because I desperately want to take this down a slutty road right away. I don't know why. There's something in my mind.
Go
I don't
for
know
it, Tommy. Don't be shy.
Coming out of it, it seems like the kind of thing that... I'm taken with the idea that of all the things that we focus on in the human condition, it's the nose that leads the way. Why is it that such a, what is considered to be technically a slightly not even very important part of the face becomes such a focus? It looks like the middle, but this gentleman sitting in front of me right here, I've seen him many, many times. It's not his nose I'm drawn to. It's his delightful beard. You know, this gentleman here, it's his attempt at a delightful beard that's years away from getting there. But the nose, I don't know why we focus so desperately on the nose. I think the nose has its jobs, if we were to take it quite literally. It is, of course, to remind us in a biological and very physical way which it could be dangerous or pleasant to us. The ability of the body through the nose doing its job to work out what is good and bad for us aromatically speaking. In fact, I find this actually quite fascinating because physics, of course, teaches us that all of aroma is actually physical matter. It's not something magical. Smell actually originates from actual physical particles of that which we are breathing in, which makes me laugh whenever I'm grilling sausages and a vegetarian comes near. And I think, ha, 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 I have violated you. And you didn't even know. But the idea of actually surgically altering the nose in ways to make it somehow more shapely, I find completely, completely against the role of nature. Surely, as I look about each and every one of you studying your noses, the variety, I was going to say difference, which is another word for variety. The dissimilar nature. How many different ways can I say it?
The diversity.
It's the diversity. It's the uniqueness. It's what I would think you would celebrate within yourself, the idea of surgically enhancing, with the exception of, say, I can't think of anyone that would really act. My favorite nose job in the history of the world, though, was when Jack Nicholson had his nose sliced open. How awesome was that?
What happened there?
Movie, help me, audience. Chinatown. Oh. Stunt goes wrong, stunt knife sticks, splits him side open on the nose. Yeah. That's what I think nose job should mean. That's what it should mean. If you don't do what I say this week, you're going to get a nose job. Buddy.
Wasn't that 5 easy pieces?
It would have been, yes. Sorry, I got myself into a hole here. I don't know where I'm at. So that speaking, I think that's good enough.
Tommy Dean, ladies and gentlemen.
Failure. Failure. This woman challenged me and I did not meet expectations. I would say that piece was on the nose.
Yeah. So the wheel of death, he's done the wheel of death now for 6 weeks running. It has been victorious 6 weeks running. But today, the first, thumbs up, thumbs middle.
No. I got to give it a thumbs down.
Yeah, he's got a generous audience. He's got thumbs up.
No. Oh. I don't feel good about it.
There's a thumbs middling. And the bloke down here that got sliced up for his wonky nose just gave him a thumbs down.
Tommy is...
I don't feel good.
That's cruel from you, sir.
Just if it makes you feel better. These are the kind of things that get inside my brain and I will spend the next 24 hours of my life thinking of every funny thing about nose
job. Brilliant, brilliant material.
Tommy is pleased to be taken off and fed to the lions. Ladies and gentlemen, thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday with Richard Glover.
We have Rob Carlton with us. He's in Randling, the new TV show, Andrew Dennett's new TV show. You'll find him on your television next week. He's also playing tonight and only tonight in the improvisational comedy at the Factory Theatre from 10:15 as part of the Sydney Comedy Festival.
The Bear Pack.
It's at the Factory, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I believe so. Otherwise, I'll turn up to the wrong venue.
No, because is it the one with Bhakti Unamuno?
No, that's another improv show. This is called Bear Pack with Carlo, Richie, and Steve.
I didn't realize there was that much improv.
Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
And then there I was just making a mockery of what improv can do.
Oh, really?
I feel bad now that we're announcing improv after I so defamed the art.
10:15, I'll be asleep anyway, so I don't care. Now, a new box office record has been set by the superhero movie The Avengers. It took more money than any other film has in the last weekend in the US. Which hero or superhero did you want to be growing up, and what were your adventures pretending to be them? Julia.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
In those big
Why do
undies.
I need to ask?
Yeah.
The big red undies, which I tried to recreate with my cotton tails, which didn't quite look the same. I loved that she had her like whole sexy, like take your hair outy, kind of take your glasses off. That doesn't, I just took my hair out, doesn't look anything like it. But I loved her so much that I used to do her special spin all the time. But I talked about my empty head syndrome. It did used to make me a little dizzy, and then I had to sit down, so I couldn't go about my, you know, my superhuman chores.
You know, the most frightening thing about Wonder Woman was the fact that she was, you know, the original Wonder Woman on television, unbelievably sexy to a young man growing up.
Oh, delicious.
But completely,
even to a lady who's not of a persuasion.
But completely dangerous, the idea of the lasso of truth.
Oh, yeah.
Because if she wrapped it around me, I would just say some very naughty stuff.
Oh, so I missed Wonder. What was the lasso of truth?
She had a golden rope that if she wrapped it around you, she would say, she could say anything. She'd say, Richard, how many eggs do you put in a quiche? And you say, I put four.
Absolutely. It's the sort of thing that just makes Craig...
She might ask more probing questions. Yeah.
If Craig Thompson saw a lasso of truth, Mike, he would run. Yes, run.
Bionic man.
So what did you want to be, Rob?
Yeah, the Bionic Man.
You want to be that?
I did. I wanted to be the Bionic Man because he, there was Farrah Fawcett was obviously a major attraction, and Lee Majors, he was tough and he was strong and he could run fast and he was worth $6 million. And so largely, sadly, that led me to a series of misadventures because he could run very fast, and I too thought I could run very fast in the right conditions, which was largely down concrete hills. That's where you can pick up most speed. It did lead to a lot of sore knees.
But to be fair...
And yet, from going face forward into those concrete barriers, you've had today's career as Kerry Packer.
That's right. That's where I did. I smashed my head up so badly.
If you recall the origin story, that's exactly how Steve Austin became the Bionic Man. He was in quite a horrible plane crash.
Yeah.
So you needed that. That's commitment. To what you want to be.
Well, I tell you, if I knew that then, it would have made me happier, but it just made me a sad boy.
But
the other thing, too, about Lee Majors' portrayal of the Bionic Man, he also had a bionic eye.
He did.
Right? He had a bionic eye. And so, now, this is a strange one. It doesn't reflect well on me. So I used to use my bionic eye by perving on the lovely lady next door. And so I'd stand there and using my bionic eye try and look through her windows, yeah? But the other thing about the Bionic Man is that
how old are you?
I was young enough to make it not too twisted. and the thing about the Bionic Man, you see, is that whenever he used his bionicism, that's not like cynicism, this is a bionicism, it came with the sound effect. Tick, 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 tick. And so to make it work, I had to bionic my eye and I had to do my sound effect. Tick, 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 tick. Which, of course... led me to getting caught the whole time.
That alerted her to your presence.
It's true. It's like, what's that damn noise in the bush? Oh, get out of here, you little pervert. It was a troubled childhood, but, you know, I've learned to show empathy to my younger self, and I stand before you proud today.
And just as a side note to the reality of the production values of that show, there's actually, they went through quite a lot to get the exact right sound they wanted for that, what you call the dick-dick-dick.
Yeah.
Of the bionic eye. It's actually some sort of like a weird spring being slapped. It's unbelievable. There's actually chapters on it on the internet you can find about how they made the bionic sound. It's unbelievable.
That's a sadness that you've got that far into. inside the internet. I mean, did you see anyone else down there?
Oh, don't
I
mean, be,
that would have been,
don't be
that would have been a
me.
Lonely chat room, no, Tommy
don't
Dean.
Don't sit over there judging me, Mr. I Want to Be the Bionic Man. I thought you were committed, and now I find out you don't even care.
Hello? Hello? Is there anybody else in the interweb near me? No, Tommy, it's just you, dude. Just you.
Okay, so who did you want to be, Tommy?
I just wanted to be myself. But, of course, myself has some amazing powers. I took a little bit from everyone. I wanted to fly like Superman. Oddly, even though I could fly like Superman, I still wanted to be able to web shoot like Spider-Man.
Oh,
I suppose it was when I got tired of flying.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know why, just my two different ways of traveling. I'll fly today. Today I'll take the webs. Well, that would be fun. And then I obviously was very much inspired by Batman. In fact, to this day, I still wear a bum bag, i.e. a utility belt. It's everything I need nearby at hand. I wanted to be green.
What do you got in there?
Sorry?
What do you got in there in that
bum
bag?
Well, I've got, as like Batman did, whatever he needed as the plot decided.
That's right. Handcuffs for his ward, Dick Grace. I'm assuming that's what was in the utility belt.
Plus, I do like, the other thing I liked is they used to play, I don't know if they ever played it in Australia, it was a game show for years in the 70s in America called Let's Make a Deal. And the way they found contestants was by asking, you know, anybody in the audience that has 6 paper clips in their pocket, and everybody would race through their purses and pull out. So I've got lots of odd things in my bum bag. Just in case Monty Hall comes down the train one day. That would be exciting. I also wanted invisibility power. That was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's a nod to Wonder Woman. She had the invisible jet, which really would have played havoc with airspace these days. Mm-hmm. I think. Yes. Imagine if a terrorist got a hold of one of those. They wouldn't even know what happened.
You're a little
too soon.
Little Tommy, you're being a little greedy in your dreamscape as a child. I mean, there
you
was
got everything.
It was pretty much you were sitting there going, "I tell you what do you want? Yeah. What do you got?" What do you got? I'll take it all.
I'll well, maybe. Around, get dizzy.
Maybe, Rob, if I tell you that I spent my formative years in a wheelchair.
Tommy.
All this starts to make sense.
Tommy.
I was just a little boy that wanted to stand up and walk. Was it too much to want to fly and shoot webs? Was it too much?
Tommy, that would be so sad if I didn't know that already. I know how you spent your childhood, and still I judge you.
Oh, yeah. And I wanted an electric wheelchair. A third way of getting around.
A to B.
Just for fun.
Well, I've heard you tell a story about your wheelie days and the brothers and the bringing dirt into the house.
Well, it wasn't dirt, my friend. We grew up on a farm, so my wheelchair days were spent in dairy cattle land. And quite often we'd be playing in the fields, and my brothers pushing me around. We would naturally roll through cow pats, and then we'd get it all over the wheelchair wheels, and then they'd bring me in the house, and there would be these tracks of cow crap all through the house. But my mom, who never wanted me to feel any different than them, when she would come home, she would look at all this on the floor and say, "All right, who got this on the rug?"
Tire tracks.
It was nice, because then I could lie and say, "Oh, I think Dennis did it."
Tommy Dean, thank God it's Friday. We have Rob Carlton, Julia Morris, and Tommy Dean with us. Now,
I also wanted Wonder Woman's deflective bracelet so I could send back the mockery of Rob Carlton.
Boo, 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 boo. Now, according to British newspapers, according to British newspapers, so it's probably not true, actually. The One Direction singer, Lewis Tomlinson, has had his bottom insured for £100,000. With fellow band member Harry Styles saying the fear was that fans might injure the bottom when the band are caught in riots, as they were recently in Sydney. Do you think this is money well spent, and which of your own body parts have you sought to insure? Rob Carlton.
Oh, yeah, I think it's money well spent. I think £100,000 seems a little low for your bottom. If your bottom is irreparably damaged, then he can't dance anymore, and that would be a stock in trade for a pop star. And obviously, if your bottom is irreparably damaged, so much else can go wrong. Number two, start to back up, which leads to halitosis. That's awful for a young 15-year-old kid. Can you imagine how embarrassing?
Yeah.
So I honestly think he's done the right.
You fall off chairs when you sit down.
But yeah, the whole thing. So I think he's on the right track. I think he should have insured it for a lot more than $100,000. I think he's let himself down. I think his minders have let himself down. Mm-hmm. Which parts of my own would I insure? I think my hair. That way I'm definitely going to get a payout. Yeah.
In as little as 2 months, probably. Yeah. Julia Morris.
The body part I would ensure would be my smacking hand for the children.
Yeah, some people say that's wrong, but not you.
No, well...
But I love the rules you've got. Anywhere below the forehead.
That's it. Well, no, I'm not allowed to smack him anymore. Dan won't let me. So I'd like the hand preserved for when society turns and stops frowning on smacking.
Yeah. Couldn't it just be in some sort of emergency glass case that you could bring
it
out?
It should totally be. Yeah. Oh, I'm not sure I would have even had the children if I realised you weren't allowed to smack them.
It is.
It's a devastating revelation.
They should tell you, shouldn't they?
Really? My kids, they used to do dreadful tantrums and throw themselves on the ground. And I'd say to people, I'm terribly sorry, but she's drunk.
There's ways around it, so we're clear. Like, we use the Vulcan pinch.
Oh, do you?
You know, and Spock, you know, could grab you by the, you know, right in the shoulder area right there.
Oh, yeah?
And squeeze and stuff. But if anybody looks at you disapprovingly in the supermarket, you're like, oh, we're just playing Star Trek.
Yeah, totally.
It's an interesting... I want to know when psychological warfare, right, there's the naughty corner, go and sit in, I'm not looking at you for 4 hours. When did psychological torment become better than a quick slap?
Oh, I've been talking recently, because we've been explaining everything. Now Dan wants us to explain everything, right? So we go to explain everything, and the look on Ruby's face is as if to say, just smack. Please. How else to say it?
Anything but the talk.
I know.
Tommy, what about the One Direction singer? Do you think he should insure his bottom?
I knew that a variety, I've heard of a variety, especially sports stars have insured parts of themselves, that if those get injured, obviously they get paid out. I've heard of things like that. I'm not even sure how the bottom one get injured in a grievous way.
It's the photo session pre-insurance that I like, because obviously you've got to document the state of the bottom before you insure it.
What, to make sure it's not cracked?
Absolutely. So I mean, that maybe that's just what he's in for. Maybe it's not about the insurance.
But I kind of actually wondered if we misread the story. You know, like you keep saying, he had his bottom insured, and I think maybe if we reread it, it was that he actually got his ass insured, and what he meant was his manager.
Rob, I love the idea you say the photo session, because there'd be a moment in the photo session when the photographer would say, okay, now turn the other cheek.
That's right. You've got to get it all.
You were saving up for that one, weren't you?
Winners and losers of the week. Tommy Dean, who were they?
I think the loser of the week is the Killjoy Cops of Victoria, who, after one of those amazingly magic moments where cash from nowhere just starts flying around in the air, people stop and collecting cash. Oh, how exciting. It's like winning a lottery in the freeway. Mm-hmm. How exciting is that?
Yeah.
And then suddenly the Killjoy cops coming, you know, you could be charged with theft if you don't find a way to try to, at least reasonably try to find out who owned that money.
Okay, that's usually better than the Victorian police. When people talk about Killjoy Victorian police, there's normally a person called Joy involved.
Yeah, dead on the side.
Yeah, they are. That's true. I suppose in a mild way, they could be winners if they weren't on the scene just popping off some shots. But surely it's fun. It's just fun.
It does seem like life's a rare event where it's just you look at it and you go, you know what? Just go for it, guys. Yeah. Go for it.
And it's nice. I mean, it makes sense that it's money. I'm glad that it was money, because I find it sort of, dispiriting about humanity when you find out like a truck full of peaches overturned and people are jumping out of their cars to steal peaches.
Well, there was a great story many years ago. There was the truck that went over and all the beer went into the creek. And that brought locals from just miles around. And they all got a lot of beer. They all got very drunk, and then I think they went and robbed a bank, got the money that way.
We're winners and losers.
And the winners, of course, obviously, mothers. Mothers this weekend, yes. So many mothers. Specifically, the mother of my children, who is celebrating her Mother's Day in New York City, far away from the children. That's what mothers should do.
Oh, yeah.
Winners and losers, Julia.
My winner was Barack Obama for affirming his support for gay marriage rights. Rock my world.
Just if we're clear about that, I would feel better about it if he divorced his wife and married a man.
Showed real commitment.
Real commitment.
Absolutely. And my loser of the week is my lovely namesake, who I am mad for. But Julia yesterday said, she said in no uncertain terms that she is against it. So that was like a knife in my side. I was very sad.
You're going to change your name to Tony as a project.
Yes. I heard a great expression through the week, though. There's a new Facebook page called Abbott Proof Fence.
Rob Carlton, who are the winners and losers?
My winner of the week was Barack Obama as well, I think. Go, you good thing, man. Come on, guys.
I think that would be better if he divorced his wife. Oh, we're doing it again. Sorry about
that. So that's Barack, and well done. My loser of the week is Craig Thompson. And again, I know it's a bit unfair because it's not really just the week. It's really the weeks. In fact, the term of this government. But it's because he came out and he said, look, I'm going to tell you what, but I'm going to wait another couple of weeks and then I'll tell you what went wrong. I'm thinking, like, dude, you've had so long to think up a lie. Just tell us. But the thing about Craig Thompson, he looks so shifty all the time. And in all those photos, he looks shifty. Mm. But it's not his fault. I live up on the Central Coast. I've met him. He's just a shifty-looking dude.
Please thank Rob Carlton, Julia Morrison, Tommy Dean. Thanks for being part of TJF. Next week, we are live from the Sydney Writers' Festival with Jackie Weaver, Tommy and Richard Feidler with the musical mayhem of Genevieve Lemon and Fat Swan. Until then, I'm Richard Glover. Thank God it's Friday.